I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Cooper also daringly writes her body onto the pages of her own book. In one incident, she searched for a ladies' room at a train station. When she found the bathroom, one door was marked for ladies and the other for colored people.
Oh!
This created a moment of cognitive and experiential dissonance for Cooper, who was left wondering, under which head I come? Elizabeth Alexander reads this as a moment of textual resistance for Cooper, who was faced with the choice that will necessarily erase some crucial part of her identity. The options presented to her render her literally a impossible body in her time and space. In this moment, Cooper reminds her readers that she lives and moves within a physical body with sensations and needs, the discursive technologies of race that operate in the signs for ladies and for colored inherently constitute discursive and textual acts of micro recognition for black women. The only way to achieve any recognition is to insert a body into the text that challenges the identity signified in the labels. The insertion of her body also demonstrates the ways in which public space was designed not only to render black bodies as inferior, but black female bodies as unrecognizable and unknowable in civic terms. When black women's bodies had been inherently publicly knowable under the conditions of slavery, after freedom and the conferral of citizenship, black women did not fully fit into the categories propagated under Jim Crow. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday.
Yes, sir.
Ready to do some podcasting?
Of course.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews on those apps, guys. If you're listening, leave us those 5-star reviews. Okay, I know we took a week off. Normally we take a week off, we don't get any 5-star reviews. That's fine, but we back now. I'm expecting 5-star reviews. Saturday will be hell to pay. Okay, so make sure you guys leave us some 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is and the unofficial sport,
bullet ball
extreme. And that excerpt from this show was from Beyond Respectability, Women's Gender and Sexuality in American History, and it's written by Brittany C. Cooper. Yeah, man, that was an interesting thing to think about, because you're essentially, it's the plight that black women face all the time, where it's like, you're not, pick one. You with the colored people, you with the blacks, or you're either your race or your gender designation.
Right.
But there's no room for you to be both.
Right. And that, you are affected by that. Black women, who are a special group. Now, all women are special, but black women, we're a particular special group in the foundation and the structure of America and how they write their laws and all these types of things. Because it's really, really fucked up, because white people say pick, and then your own community say pick. Like, men get to be men first and black second. Like they always get that option. That's why we have patriarchy and all that shit, because that most black men pick men first. Head of the household and all this stuff, you know, throwing your dick out there like you own everything, because you get to choose men first and being black second. Women have to choose black first and put your womanhood on the back burner, because if you start saying I'm a woman first, it becomes a problem, because that pushes it up against the patriarchy that a lot of black men put on black women to kind of keep them in their places. And it's very irritating and it's very frustrating, and I am personally glad and I am very thankful. Are we perfect here in America? The reason why let me finish the statement. I am very thankful that a lot of the traditions are being broken, and I'm also very thankful that a lot of women are starting to step up and be like, you know what, I'm not dealing with this. And in my heart of heart, I believe the biggest reason why they are fighting against abortion, the biggest reason why they're fighting against equal pay for women, the biggest reason why they are fighting against a lot of things when it comes to women, is because they, instead of doing the right thing, quote unquote, which would mean treat women with respect, it's nope, we don't want, we would never teach you respect. What we're gonna do is we want to take it back. Like they, like they literally are taking it back. Like, we, okay, we don't want you making the much money, we want you getting pregnant, because once you get pregnant you get tied down with these kids, and once you get tied down with these kids you have no financial freedom. We want you to go and be forced to be married, we want you less educated and all this shit, because if we take it back, that means we don't quote unquote have to give anything up. And it's sad when you look at people in your own community and they look at you like that shit's okay, and it's not.
Yeah, what I find interesting is segregation is not something black men did to black women in this case, right? Mm-hmm. So like you have your intra-racial dynamics that you just brought up. In this case, this is white people saying choose, and not, and the choice was really already made, it was implied,
right?
What they were really saying is, to us in this situation, there's no difference between a woman, a black woman or a black man when it comes to using the bathroom.
Nope,
you go use the bathroom together, you know. Keep in mind that at the time, this is extreme chivalry, like at the time, like you're talking about a time where they had gentlemen's cars and ladies' cars. Like, you're talking about a time where, you know, they didn't want, women to even, like, necessarily, like, they didn't want you dressed in a certain way. They didn't want you to sit a certain way. They didn't want you to, and I was all under the guise of, we're protecting you, not like we're oppressing you, but this is, you're a woman. We'll do all the physical chores, all this stuff. And black women have never been afforded that.
Nope.
And so white people essentially were saying in the case of these bathrooms, you're as much a black man as anything. You're just black. Like, go use the bathroom at the same place as the men. Of course, for the white people, well, we're gonna have the luxury of women can use this bathroom, and then white men will have their own bathroom. But, you know, black people, you don't get any distinctions. You know, there's no class distinction,
no separation,
there's no gender distinction. There's, like, that's the real reason that segregation was such a unifying cause for blackness, and why we haven't really had a thing like that since, that really had a monolithic, I'm sure there were some people off board, but
right,
you haven't got the majority of black people on board with anything. Correct. Since then, because
correct,
that was one time where it didn't matter if you had 7 degrees, mm-hmm, you had to go use that restroom.
Come on.
And that indignity was something everyone could relate to. And, you know, now things have changed so much where you make a certain amount of money, you get a certain reputation, you live in a certain area. There's just a bunch of,
right,
you know, so you got certain politics. There's just different ways now that people can be like, well, I don't actually agree with this. But everyone could kind of sit back and be like, I do agree that I shouldn't be in this, you know, in this shitty bathroom, you know, because the segregated stuff is never to par. It's never equal. It's separate, but it is never equal. So
right, and the thing is very funny though, because like for me, I am against neighborhood schools. I'm highly against people. You know, I believe in busing children, mm-hmm, around the different neighborhoods. And because once you go back to neighborhood schools, that becomes a problem.
You have black people that are the complete opposite of that think neighborhood schools will be the solution, because they think that the problem is the school systems, that the schools we send bus our kids to, they don't want them there and they don't care about those kids, and so then they get put in the school to prison pipeline.
And I can understand that too. And actually, it's no actually quote unquote right way to do it, because both ways have fucking been tried.
Yeah.
I do understand people's philosophy on having black teachers. Like I agree with that, because when we were quote unquote on our own and taught our own children, we look at our children as children. We don't age them up. We don't look at them as fucking adults. We actually have empathy and sympathy and compassion. We actually allow them to be children in environments that we control.
Well, more so than white folks will.
Correct. And we still got our problems too on, right, that standpoint. But I'm just saying, you know, studies and statistics have shown, like, once you start integrating, yes, there are things that are affected by that. But my thing about the integration is that I believe in being around people that don't look like you. And I guess I had the privilege of being raised where I wasn't ever separated. Mm-hmm. So for me, okay, just like white people have biases, black people have biases too. And unless you are around somebody that don't look like you and don't talk like you and don't speak like you, you're gonna have some of the same ignorance as they do about us.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think it's just complicated. And that's the whole point that I'm saying about the whole segregation shit, is that, you know, there's good and bad to all the stuff. Like, segregation in this country was never the way it was written on paper anyway. So anytime you hear black people say we're better off under segregation, normally those people are just showing you their ignorance, that they don't understand the actual, they haven't read about the actual implementation of how segregation went. They think about the rules on paper and they're like, yeah, why would I want, I mean, if I just didn't have to deal with white people, they the ones that's racist anyway, give me my own bathroom and they get their own bathroom. Yeah, but your bathroom's gonna be a trough,
right?
You know, and, so and
go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's just a lack of education there. And as far as neighborhood schools, the thing that people I think are really worried about is because of the way funding is cut up. Even if you had neighborhood schools where black kids went to the schools in their neighborhoods and blah blah blah, then I mean, we've seen it in New York when we talked about it, like literally they did the studies that show like, oh, the black schools just don't get the money,
right? And they start shutting them down and all that type of shit. Like, and I think that's my biggest thing,
right,
is like, if the system is fucked up and it's rigged, so it's one of those things where once you start going through, the money's going to stay where the money is. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you got to bust that money around and kind of integrate it.
Yeah, I understand your point of view. I just don't have an answer. I don't have a right answer. It's too complicated. I think there's a different, it's kind of like there's a difference between why somebody goes, why HBCU exists to this day, mm-hmm. versus, you know, and someone could be like, well, nah, we need, you know, let's just integrate everything. Like, to a certain extent, it's like, not for this. Like, some, you know, and that's not saying HBCUs don't have white students, but right. Just there's no white students forced to go to HBCU or whatever.
No,
there's
not.
None of them bust in town or whatever. So it is kind of like a certain extent that I do feel like there's benefits to integration, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then there's also some, you know, some shit that you end up having to deal with that you don't want to, or you wouldn't want people to have to go through when you do bust a kid to some white part of town, to some white school. Like, it's all bad choices,
right? And it's almost like it's a catch-22 either way you go around it, because at the end of the day, the problem is the system and the problem is white people. Like, if you really want to get down to the root of the problem, like, that's the root of the problem.
Yeah, but back to the excerpt though, I just thought that that choice that she's faced with was emblematic of just what black women have to face every day. You know what I mean? Within the choices of, am I going to defend myself? Am I going to defend my people? Am I going to have to, if I can't talk about when black men are complicit in my oppression, because then they get all defensive and they say, I'm turning on black people, and now I'm a bedwitch, now I'm a coon, I'm a sellout, I'm all these other things. When, you know, so it's like I can never advocate for myself truly. And if you do it with white women, then you're turning on all women as far as white women are concerned. So mm-hmm. Hey, sisters, we all need to get paid more, okay? Well, none of us is getting paid enough. And you go, you're right, but also you're getting paid more than me,
right?
Then it's like, well, why you gotta turn me into the enemy? Then they get defensive. So it's no home for black women unless it's basically among other black women, right. And even in those cases, I mean, everybody has the internet. You've seen the fallout.
Yeah,
and black women get together,
and you have situations where sometimes within the own group, women will turn on themselves, because even within the hierarchy, quote unquote, of black women, you have black women that feels all different types of ways. They've had all different types of experiences. Some black women grew up in whiteness, and they still black, but they grew up in a white world. You have some black women who did not grow up in a white world, so you're just, your experience are different, and how you interact with society and how people view you. You have colors mixed up in there. It's a lot of different factors when it comes to these things, and it's complex and it's complicated, and to an extent it could be very, very frustrating at times.
Yeah, so but yeah, that was just I remember reading that passage and being like, what the fuck do you do? Because the other part of that, right, that's unsaid is that you might be risking your life, because you go into that women's bathroom and they're like, that's for white people. You saw the fucking sign outside and you just never knew what the fuck was gonna happen to you if you violated those rules. And you know, segregation rules and shit literally could change from town to town.
Yes sir.
And it was just a way of always keeping black people checking, always having us check ourselves. A lot of what we call respectability, that people now say stuff like respectability won't save you, it's a great platitude to go on a t-shirt, but it literally did save people's lives, sadly. Like, it's right. Not, it was a survival tactic. It was never, you know, it's not necessarily aspirational, but it was mm-hmm. something that was like, you could die being disrespectful in certain parts of the country. And of course, yes, you could die even if you weren't being disrespectful, but the point is that people weren't gonna risk their lives on the principle of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway, make sure y'all check out that book, Beyond Respectability. I enjoy it.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow.
The other thing too I want to just stress is that is a book about historical black feminists. So like, you know, we read about a lot of shit, we read about stuff that we think is important, we learn about people and places we think is important, but I feel like black women that are race women, we don't learn about them. They're not taught in schools, we don't fucking seek that knowledge out as adults, and we're mostly ignorant to it. And then, you know, that's how stupid shit like white women gave black women feminism to destroy the community, those are how those things get spread, because no one's taking the time to open up a fucking book and be like, oh yeah, this is not true, you know?
Right, correct.
So, alright, and also before we get started, we do have a sponsor for today's episode.
Everybody put your hands together.
Taking it back, boy. I was at what, middle school?
I don't think so. Middle school?
Middle school, what's this?
For 112, Cupid?
Oh, no. I was a little older than that. I'm old, y'all. I'm sorry.
Free stuff is awesome. But free stuff to spice up your bedroom is even better. Select almost any one item for 50% off at adamandeve.com. And you can then get a bunch of free stuff. Okay, loads of free stuff. Just load after load, all over you, all around you, inside you, just loads, okay? Enter offer code TBGWT at checkout and get 10 free tantalizing gifts. A sexy item for him, a special gift for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. I say mix and match. Don't let nobody tell you what to do with your body.
Mm-mm.
You don't purchase these projects. It's yours. And you get 6 free spicy movies plus free shipping. That's TBGWT offer code at adamandeve.com when you go to check out. TBGWT. TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Go ahead and hook yourself up. All right, let's get into the news.
Yeah, somebody at the high school said, yeah, that sounds about right, because I remember me and a friend of mine had to go up to media, I won't say media play, tell you how fucking old I am, that plane is this no more. Went up to media play and bought the CD. I think first time we went, that was out of it. The 112 CD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I was like maybe my first year of college. Maybe you was in high school.
Mm-hmm, I was in high school.
So you was 1 year behind me. So I think that's the year it came out, like 96 or something like that.
Somewhere in there. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm not good with dates for music anyway. All right, let's get into the news, guys. There's a lot of news coming out. All right, guys. A lot of stuff to be outraged about. Lizzo went to the Lakers game.
Mm-hmm.
I seen people talking about Lizzo last. I wasn't mm-hmm. paying no attention because we went to the Hornets game,
mm-hmm.
and then we went out and got something to eat.
Had a good time. Watch Crisis.
Watch Crisis.
Infinite Earths.
We did watch that, and we watched the Mandalorian episode. Yes. That so I was not really paying attention to Twitter. I just, you know how you just casually glance and see like, oh, someone's, a lot of people have thoughts on Lizzo today for some reason. That was all I had to say. Yeah, but apparently it was a problem, guys, because Lizzo went to the Lakers game.
Okay.
And they were performing her song at halftime. I think it was Juice or something like that. And when the camera cut to her, she turned around and she had a dress on, but in the back of the dress, it was a hole out where you could see her butt cheeks, and she twerked with a thong. And apparently,
yes,
apparently that was very inappropriate and disgusting. A lot of people very upset. People were on Twitter fighting about it all day. I'm to fight with these niggas over this shit. Literally, I cannot find anything valuable in these discussions that are happening online. Everybody keeps talking about we need to have conversations, uncomfortable conversations. They're not gonna happen on Twitter.
No, they're not.
There's too many reasons and ways to manipulate shit when it comes to social media. Too much attention seeking rather than
and no nuance seeking and shit. So what the fuck we talking about?
So I watched people argue about it and I just checked out of it, but I did see the video for myself, and I mean, mostly I was thankful.
I'm about to say butt cheeks.
I'm a big fan of butts, as people know if you listen to this long enough. If you follow my Instagram, I'm pretty much just like butts all day.
I mean, and that's what she does in her normal performances. Twerk. What are we talking about here? Play flutes.
Well, Karen, Lakers game is family friendly environment. And, Lizzo pulling out a cheek Lakers game. I mean, now you gotta explain to your kids. No. You know, now your kids.
They might like butts. What's happening here?
Kids might, they might go out and start doing meth. You know, lose all their teeth and stuff because you seen them cheeks flapping, Karen. Okay. It happens.
She do the thing, the honeybees and whatever, basketball girls be out there rolling around on half court.
Yeah, the Lakers girls, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, cause you know, it varies per city, but yes.
Yeah, the thing that I thought was interesting, in all this was, it did go to a real, fat phobia. Like everybody was talking about how fat she was and shit, and I'm not saying her. Listen, I'm saying everybody, not everybody, but you got, like, I looked at her mentions, I also looked at her name trending on Twitter, and look, the vast majority of the comments that were getting the most attention or retweets and shit, it was a lot of fucked up shit about her body. It was like, people are gonna gloss past that feel like, well, I'm not fat phobic, I just don't want to see that. That's cool, but then you can't deny that this conversation, a lot of it was driven by people that absolutely only have a problem with her because she's fat.
Correct. And it goes back down to what I've always said. Some people have always had a problem with her size. They have always had a problem with just, and they didn't say shit because she was the darling going up the ladder. But the second she quote unquote fucked up, they felt like they could come out the woodworks, and once the people come out the woodworks, they don't ever go away. So anything that she does, they gonna come and say that shit. So no, you cannot ignore that a lot of people, regardless of what they say, have a problem with her weight, and not only her weight, have a problem with just fat people in general.
Yeah, and like, if you look at her Twitter and stuff, man, she's like, take a lot of provocative photos and stuff,
gorgeous photos. Yeah.
But you know, it's like, she also wants to be and is a sex symbol. You can't really, it's like, if she was Rihanna, it'd just be like, we stand for this, blah blah blah, you know. I know Rihanna's shown up places where, like, without a bra on and you can see through her shirt and stuff like that, and I have seen people that mostly are supportive. I'm not saying everybody, but the vast majority of the commentary is, what a badass thing to do, not a, you know, put some clothes on thing.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things too that people have a tendency to be like, I'm ashamed of your body, so you ought to be ashamed of your body. Bitch, this is my body, you know.
And that's her whole brand, is that, right? I'm not, like, and I think I love myself,
angry because she's not.
There's nothing y'all can do to stop that, you know what I mean? And so it turned into like that. You had people saying it was just inappropriate. Anyone does it, it'll be fucked up and whatever. I do agree with one part of it though that I think people are dismissing. It is outrageous because she's an outrageous person.
Correct.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like if Madonna shows up with a certain dress or something, she is doing it for attention. There are some people who will always be turned off by that and upset by that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're talking about it, so you're kind of giving her attention that you claim it's so fucking wrong for her to seek, you know. So I do understand and respect that. I don't want to become like this this thing where people are just like the polar opposite of what's happening in reality. Like, nah, if Lizzo showed up with her ass hanging out, I'm definitely gonna be like, oh, okay, that was a choice. You know, like, it's not like, you know, people are just picking on her for no reason. Like, she did want some attention to do that.
Correct.
But, I mean, so does Venus Williams and Gronkowski when they danced with the Lakers girls a month ago. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. to me, it's just not, I guess what I don't understand is the anger. Because I could get behind the idea of being like, that was wild. I can't believe she did that. That's crazy. I don't get the, you know, how dare you, bitch? This is a public platform or whatever. Like, okay, she twerks at her concert. She twerks on every Instagram and YouTube and Twitter and every, you know, talk show she's gone on. Like, it's kind of her signature move. Yes, it's shocking in this situation. I'm not trying to take away from that, but it's still within her brand. I just don't see why it would be so, like, anger inducing.
I think for a lot of people, sure, she's on their quote unquote shit list, and they feel like once you fucked up, you know how the internet does, once you fucked up, it's a fuck you forever. And I will continue to say this, a lot of people have already had a problem with her, but now they can actually come out and be vocal. Like, they had to shut up for a while because anytime you said anything about her, people was like, bitch, shut up, don't nobody gotta hear your hating ass. And so now the quote unquote ties have turned, so now these people feel like they can come out and they can just be ignorant and just say stupid and dumb shit and like just be retarded because they feel as though this is what they can do.
I think retarded is the wrong word, but
I mean, yeah, my bad.
Yeah. But yeah, I think sorry, this is the video I'm trying to
Yeah. And when I say retarded, that's a habit that I'm personally breaking, you know. And it was no offense to anybody, but you know, just they was just wilding just for no reason.
Yeah, I think I don't know. That's the kind of interesting that people were so by. I mean, I get that it's shocking, so people are gonna talk about it. I'm not telling people not to, but I don't know. It was just kind of. To me, I look at it the same way as Rihanna not wearing a bra, you know, and I know it's somewhat different. People was doing like, she sat her bare ass down on a public seat. That's disgusting and all type of shit. So once again, I think that designating somebody disgusting and nasty in that situation has a lot to do with her body.
Of course. You know,
I think when, somebody else does it that's a smaller size, the commentary is a little different normally, or it's not as strong with the how disgusting everything is. It's my, you know, I love for them to sit on my face or something, like, you know, I wish I was that chair, as opposed to now all of a sudden it's like, what about the sanitary requirements? She gonna get herpes from sitting on the Lakers chair. So I don't know, man. I just feel like the amount of arguing over it seemed weird.
Yeah, you know what? I've come to the conclusion a lot of shit is just a social part of social media. And once you actually boil it down to that, everything else makes sense to me now.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking the other day, man? And I was dead serious. But like, Janet Jackson pulled her titty out at the Super Bowl. That's outrageous as well. And yet, if you start asking black people about that, 99.9% of them are like, fuck Justin Timberlake, and they were wrong for not letting Janet trying to blackball her and keep her from performing live other places after that. 99% of them think that. Why? Because it's Janet Jackson's titty.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it's just kind of, I don't know, it just feels weird. Like, that is such a, like, divisive issue of Lizzo's butt cheeks. Like, you know what I mean? It's just such a, like, I can't believe it's that fucking divisive. The same people that, like, are mad at this. I was mad at the Super Bowl for that. You know, like, they, like, now y'all are conflicted. It just seemed like it's a pretty open and shut case of, you know, they don't, if it's not your thing, then it's not your thing. You don't have to, like, down her, down everybody that, you know, for it. And I don't know. My personal belief is, I know there's plenty of people that will disagree and look, don't write into the show because it'll be a waste of time. But I do believe a lot of the people that, have a problem with it, have a problem with it because of her size, even if they won't admit it or even if they haven't figured it out themselves. It's a reason that we didn't have this uproar for other people that have worn, have been scantily clad or outrageously clad at other events. It's like certain people, and it's not just Lizzo, by the way. There's other people whose bodies we have decided that it's okay to mock their body, you know. Aging people. Yeah. Like when a woman gets a certain amount of age and she wears some shit, we start doing the don't nobody want to see blah blah blah. Like it's not just fat, it's a bunch of shit. So you know, and it's also just the fact that in that universe that she exists in, so much of it is about physical appearance, and that's one of the reasons that people look at her and think, feel so inspired by her and feel that she's so revolutionary, is because she is basically saying fuck that, you know. And I do think I'm attractive, and I know there are other people out there that think I'm attractive, and I'm just doing my shit for myself and for them. And if you don't fuck with it, then don't fuck with it, you know. Like,
yeah, people that go, how dare you tell me, you give me the option to fuck with it or not. And she go, well, you got the option or the right. It's like people get angry when you be like, I actually don't care.
Yeah.
And they're mad that you don't care because they want you to care so they can drive you crazy.
Yeah. Like I said, I was just appreciative. I was like, oh shit, some butt cheeks. Didn't think I'd see that at the Lakers game. They also interviewed her on the sideline. I thought it was adorable because they asked her, like, asked her, like, some questions about it. Like, who you here to see and stuff. She was like, I'm here to see number two, whatever number it was. And it was Karl Anthony Towns. And she was basically like, you know, talking about how she was checking. She was like, got a man on the Minnesota Timberwolves and just made a little joke out of it. I don't know, man. I don't find her, I don't know. I don't dislike her the way that I see a lot of people kind of being. And, you know, they always do that weird thing where it's like, we don't have to like her. And I'm always like, why do you have to dislike her though? Like, why what is it about you that makes you feel like you have to like or dislike these celebrities that we don't really know? Like, especially the ones that don't really be doing shit. Like, there are some celebrities I do understand, like, every time they do something, it seems like they're just trying to be like a fucked up person to other folks. But I don't know, Lizzo don't seem to be like this person, this evil motherfucker. And I remember people doing it with Cardi, you know. And then that's the other thing, I think that's the other reason I kind of gravitate away from this, is because they normally do it with black women, and then they normally switch it to like now this new person, this is the person, they, this is the one,
turn on them,
right? And that's always this weird black Highlander shit, why they claim to not be these type of people. Like, why are we always pitting black women against each other? Okay, cool, good point. Let's not do that anymore. Well, listen, some of us just don't like Lizzo, and we don't have to, and you can't make me. Now, Megan Thee Stallion, that's the one. And I'm like, okay. And then, like, they hang out together and take pictures and be cool, and you're somewhere on your keyboard, you know, deciding one of them can be, only one of them can exist with your support. Like, such a weird fucking thing to do.
It is. It's very odd and weird and strange. But a lot of times, I think for a lot of people, it's like, they feel like, I've got to say something. Like, I cannot let a moment pass without me saying something. And the thing is, the people that they probably should go at, they don't, because them people don't give a fuck about them and their opinion. Like, the people that go, I I'm living my best life. Doo 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 doo. They're not gonna go after him. Right. Cause he's like, fuck all y'all. Then they gonna go after the people that they know they can get their attention.
Right. So it's just interesting, man. Let's see what else is happening in the news. That was like the biggest fucking thing today for some reason. Cardi B explained why she stayed with Offset after he cheated despite the backlash she received.
I'm glad I didn't ask for an explanation, but
you know what though, people did ask.
Okay. Like, people ask. Like,
give a fuck, but a lot of people were on her, and I said this shit when it happened. There were people that have become fans of her that are like these woke intersectional feminist womanist type people that have tried to make her fit into a mold that's not necessarily what she set out to do or even something she talks about. Like, they'll take any little comment she has politically and be like, now see, this is why we stand a socialist da 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 whatever. But it's like, Cardi is not describing herself as this person. She's
y'all,
not
y'all
telling
putting
you
these labels on her.
Yeah, she's not like, I'm doing my music because of bell hooks. Like, she let her say that if she's gonna say it, but if not, have to apply it. But I think the wave is now a lot of these people, because they do believe in cancel culture, even if it's not real, quote unquote, they can't cancel them. They do believe in it. They can say whatever the fuck they want. They believe in the shit.
Right.
They do wish ill intent on these people that fuck up.
They do.
They do stop supporting them and wanting them not to make it. Just because they don't have the power to pull it off by themselves doesn't mean they don't believe in it.
Correct.
So the thing is, they'll, because they believe in that, and they do the, I can't listen to this, I can't watch that, I can't do this, because it made some sort of mistake. Well, when it comes to the people they do like, they then have to put them on a pedestal and go, I will defend them against all attacks. Not only that, I will say the thing for them they're not saying. I went, Cardi B is such a this, that, and the other. And for a lot of them, when she didn't basically divorce Offset after he got caught cheating, she let them down.
All right, that's her fucking husband.
But it's the same, you know, we see all the same thing with Beyonce and Jay-Z. There's a lot of people who are doing mental gymnastics to support Beyonce, but not Jay-Z, because they want him to be this evil man. He cheated on her, and fuck him, drop the father of your children, because as a fan of you, it's more convenient for me to support you if I don't have to ever seem as I'm supporting your husband.
Right. Versus these people that they know my lies, won't even fucking break up with their boyfriend that they half-rate treating them wrong, but yet you expect somebody to just divorce just because you're a fan? Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, or maybe they did. Maybe in their personal life, they don't take anything, no mistakes, no nothing. They have, you know, they're by themselves or with somebody that, you know, and their mind is perfect or whatever the fuck, right? But that's just your life.
Right.
Those are the decisions you made. Just because you're a fan of somebody's music doesn't get to mean you get to decide how their personal life will be dictated to them, you know? So I think there was pressure on her to say something about it, and she hasn't for months. I mean, if it wasn't for this latest thing, maybe she wouldn't have talked about it at all, but, you know, there was a lot of pressure, like, explain this, drop him,
because she's very, her whole brand is social media, so from that perspective, I completely understand.
She's expressing sadness and all this stuff. And honestly, when you share as much as she shares online, the vacuum you create when you don't share something becomes big.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is sitting around like, but why you won't talk about this? You talk about everything else. You know, you talked about having diarrhea this morning. You want to talk about your fucking, you know, what's up with your relationship? You owe us this content now. We are entitled to it.
Yeah, and I guess because I don't function like that, I'm like, when her next album coming out, that's the end for me. But, you know, but if you want to share, that's fine. I don't feel like she's obligated to.
Yeah, I mean, but we clearly are not. We're not really necessarily like a lot of people with this stuff.
Mm-mm.
But when Cardi B was asked about Offset cheating and scandal in the upcoming January issue of Vogue, this is a beautiful cover photo, by the way, with her and Culture.
Can I see?
I'm putting it on the screen. She came with answers, remaining unapologetic in the interview. Cardi straight up confirmed Offset stepped out on their marriage and then explained why she stuck around. So it's still not showing up?
Not yet. You know, sometimes that thing's slow.
Okay, go back to the screen. It's moving real slow, huh? All right, well, I'll try to keep talking until we see if it comes up or not.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to refresh it or something.
Oh, it closed the thing. No wonder publishing took too long. Okay, let's try one more time, guys, see if we can get the picture to work. Jesus. I don't know why Crowdcast has been moving slow this whole time. All right, we're gonna try this one more time, and because I do want you to see this picture. It's fucking amazing picture. Also getting that January cover. Everybody keeps talking about Cardi over and what all these other people taking her spot.
I was sending a bunch of commercials and stuff like that. She probably gonna be in this year.
Yeah, like she doing it big. Is it showing now? Trying to?
Not yet. Like I said, I know sometimes it moves slow.
All right, you know what, I'm gonna copy and paste the picture to hit in.
Okay.
I have no idea why I won't show up, guys. It's just being racist, I guess. I don't like Cardi B. The Crowdcast more of a Megan Thee Stallion situation, and
he prefers Rihanna.
Yeah, it's in the Navy and the Beehive. What is Cardi's hive called?
I have no idea, but I know
Barty Gang. Oh, Barty Gang, that's it. Yeah. All right.
Oh, that's what they call themselves?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, she took this picture. She did this interview. He cheated and everything. And I decided to stay with him and work together with him. A lot of people were so mad at me. A lot of women felt disappointed in me. That's the part that had to suck, is that.
Oh, that's a beautiful picture.
Yeah, so many people. Imagine so many people have put so much stock in your personal decisions. That this stranger is like, you let down because your husband and the father of your child. You know what I mean? Like, because you decided to work this out. You didn't give up right away. I wonder if it's because they go online and they're defending and debating with other people and.
Yes, sir.
What can make you feel so entitled to someone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like I say, a lot of people, particularly when they got their hives, they go and they argue and people that just probably attack them all day, and a lot can make people hypersensitive, and so hypersensitive to the fact that if you don't do what I think you should do, all of a sudden you've let me down because now I've got to go back online and deal with motherfuckers laughing and poking and joking. Like it's ridiculous, but that's how it kind of functions.
Yeah, it's just insane to me. But it's real life shit. If you love somebody and you stop being with them and you're depressed and social media is telling you not to talk to that person, you're not really happy on the inside until you had a conversation. That's also that thing. A lot of people online don't know how to handle conflict themselves.
Right.
So they telling you what they do, which is go online. You could just block somebody, but this is your real life.
Yeah, and also the thing is, they don't have to live with the consequences of the repercussions of the decisions to be with him or not to be with him. You do.
Right.
So they not gonna care nothing about you being sad or depressed or, you know, going through mental issues. Like, they actually don't give a fuck. To them, that's just more content.
Yeah, this is your business partner.
Right.
Your husband, your lover, all this shit. You may want to give that a chance. She says, then if you get back with them, it's like, how could you let us all down? People that be in marriages for years, when they say till death do us part, they not talking about little arguments like if you leave the fridge open, that's included everything. She turned to her faith and relied on prayer to get her through this difficult part of her marriage. Cardi and Offset broke up December 2018 and reunited early 2019. I believe in forgiveness. I prayed on it. Me and my husband prayed on it. We had priests come to us and we just came to an understanding, like, bro, it's really us against the world. He has my back for everything. I have his back for everything. So when you cheat, you're betraying the person that has your back the most. Why would you do that? We have come to a clear understanding. For me, monogamy is the only way. And for anyone thinking she left him off the hook, think again. She gave her final words on infidelity in the most Cardi way. I'll beat your ass if you cheat on me. Probably did that laugh. One of the things I think is interesting here, too, is that, that forgiveness and that, like, working out stuff, people just don't like that. Mm-mm. They don't like when other people do it and they don't like it for themselves.
No.
You know, and especially when you can get the upper hand or the moral high ground on somebody, it's like you can never give that up.
That's considered weakness, and truth be told, that's why a lot of people in so many fucked up relationships, the relationships don't last, because you have no interpersonal skills, you have no conflict resolution skills, you have no people skills, you don't know how to talk to anybody, you don't know how to communicate, you don't get in touch with your feelings, and it's like, oh, you fucked up, I'm out, and you just run, and you got the right to do that, but everybody fuck up, even you.
It just reminds me of that book, Conflict Is Not Abuse, because I remember people being like, this is abuse, him doing this grand romantic gesture, this is what, you know, abusers do and all this shit. And I remember being like, I don't know how anyone can conclusively, that doesn't know the details of a relationship, can conclusively be like, this dude is some type of serial abuser. I'm not saying he's not, I'm not saying he is, I'm saying I can't fucking tell from the fucking long distance view I have of their relationship. I don't know shit, you know what I mean? Like, I know. And also, I don't know that what Cardi would, at this age or whatever, be able to express for herself and what she believes. Cause I've seen the fucking show. Cardi beats women's asses and shit. Cheats on people. She's fucked some girl. I remember she fucked this one dude who's like a DJ. And then his girlfriend flew in from England and wasn't even really trying to fight her or nothing, and confronted her. And then she beat the woman's ass on national TV. Like, these people not the fucking Twitter friends that you have, or the people that sit in these chat groups and like parse all this shit out through like different spectrums. Like, they just people. Like, she just a rapper you like, that's it, you know. It's not as deep for her as it is for you, apparently,
right?
But yeah, I think a lot of this shit is just people investing too much.
Yes, sir.
R. Kelly's tour manager set to testify about R. Kelly's marriage to Aaliyah, but he doesn't want R. Kelly to go to jail. I think we should help him. I think we should help him more so than hurt him. Oh, apparently he's a prison abolitionist, so I guess we gotta support that, guys. I mean, really, should anyone be in jail in America?
Yes.
I think we can all agree it's the new slavery. And
yes.
We gotta free these people, okay? We just give them a knife too. We'll say, cut it out, mister. You stop, okay? Cut it out right now. And then, he'll stop, and then, we can be like, cool. Let's all go back to business as usual, when it comes to R. Kelly.
Mm-mm.
Hmm?
No.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
No.
See, this is why we have so many prisons, because of black people like you.
I guess so, dude.
Locking up our own. This is what's wrong with us right now.
Mm-hmm. Stop it, stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous! Get out of here! We are adults, and this is ridiculous! Cut the crap!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
what we say to R. Kelly.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And then he'll stop being a serial fucking pedophile rapist. Yep.
It does not work like that. Nope.
Also, isn't this manager the people that helped fill out his forms with Aaliyah? Like,
right. Why aren't you
in jail?
Okay, I was about to say, why aren't you being charged with something?
What the fuck kind of Spider-Man versus Spider-Man shit is this? And I think we should go easy on him, and by easy on him, I mean kind of easy on me too. I mean, is it really a big deal?
Right.
You know, it'd really be more hurting him to send him to jail. We really need his help.
I was reading shit on his behalf and shit.
Like, he the pedophile. What's your excuse? I think he just needs some help. Okay, you was helping him be a pedophile. So, like, maybe you don't get to be the best judge.
He had a whole ass machine helping him do this.
You don't get to be the judge of what he needs, because you thought he needed someone to forge his motherfucking signature for him to marry Aaliyah. You know this nigga can't even read. Y'all helped him do this. I don't give a fuck about either one of y'all. As far as I'm concerned, I hope that Kamala Harris comes.
You're going to jail.
And lock your ass up.
That's why she had to stop running.
That's the only reason I wanted Kamala out the race, is to lock more of you niggas up. Ridiculous. Demetrius Smith, the former manager who spent time on the road with R. Kelly in the 90s, will testify he was the one who purchased a fake ID for Aaliyah back in 1994 while she was only 15, at the direction of R. Kelly, who was 27 at the time. The purchase, Smith claimed, was made so the teen would be able to marry Kelly. Smith said during the filming of Surviving R. Kelly that he witnessed the ceremony take place. Okay. And then he says, he feels Kelly needs help. People just looking at locking someone up. I think Robert should just get a psych evaluation. I think we should help him more so than hurt him. He shared during a video chat with TMZ. Yeah, I don't know how niggas can do the prison abolition thing, because I hear that shit and I just want him in jail. I don't know how y'all do it. I can't. I'll never be able to make it all the way to the promised land with y'all niggas, because if you can read that and think not just R. Kelly but this nigga too should both be off the street,
a whole ass fake ID.
Good luck. Let's see, Pharrell Williams accused of perjury by Marvin Gaye's family. He's been sued again for $3.5 million.
Oh, I was about to say, did they get sued before?
Yeah, he already lost a $5 million lawsuit in 2018 with him and Robert and Thicke.
Yeah.
Was ruled that they plagiarized the class track Got to Give It Up for Blurred Lines. But apparently once the Gaye family caught wind of this interview that Pharrell did where he said he often reverse engineers stuff, and he got caught basically saying he listened to Got to Give It Up, and that's how he kind of was influencing Blurred Lines. That's how he lost that case. Mm-hmm. But now they're seeking to have him cover the $3.5 million in attorney fees that the judge rules in their favor, because he made intentional material misrepresentation to the jury and his court as part of an unconscionable scheme to improperly influence the jury and the court in their decisions. Nothing was more central to the case than whether Got to Give It Up or Marvin Gaye was on Williams' mind when he was engaged in creating Blurred Lines. That fact was central to the issue of whether Williams and Thicke illegally copied Got To, and whether their copying was willful and they knew it. So I guess since he did this new interview where he talked about being influenced by it, they're like, nigga, understand, you didn't say that. So now we want you for perjury and $3.5 million.
Oh, ouch.
Yep. Shit happens, man, you know. Sad. You hate to see it. Pharrell's one of everybody's faves, but you gotta go. That damn Marvin Gaye family don't play, man. Like they
what you ain't gonna do is this.
Every time they
make too much money, they was like, no, we make too much money.
Every time he do it, they pop up like, what's going on?
They over there like whatchamacallit do OJ. Got his hand out. Up, more money. That's mine, nigga.
Ron Goldman Sr.
Yeah, he pop up and like, nope, you will not get another motherfucking dime.
Let's see what else happened. Let's get into some other segments, guys.
Okay.
See what else we got here, before we, move on. I guess we'll start with, everybody's new favorite segment, the Black Capitalist segment. Get about these, Black people out here getting money and shit, being rich. How dare they?
How dare they?
It's not gonna get us free.
They ain't gonna like me. They ain't gonna like me. I be getting to the money. Everybody, man. Think I'm getting too much money. Everybody, man.
Rihanna's auntie is the first album from a Black female artist to spend 200 weeks on the Billboard top 200 chart.
Come on, 200 weeks.
Disgusting.
How many years is that? A lot.
Yeah, she is the first Black woman in the chart 61 year history to reach the milestone, which means she got a lot of money from the most streamed album and the seventh most streamed female artist on Spotify.
ain't put out an album in who knows how
4 years. 4 years.
4 years, okay.
And this is black capitalism at its worst, because you blacks didn't even demand more from your black savior.
At his best.
You just wearing Fenty and yes, queen of her to death, just lying in her black capitalist pockets.
Why they put on their savage stockings, yes.
Mm-mm-mm. All the way from like Barbados, so it's not even American money, okay?
Don't care.
She is getting this black capitalism.
Whatever that dollars is, we can transfer it into that currency.
Exporting it from the nation. Out of our country, out of the black community's hands.
Don't care.
Taking the means of production and keeping it for herself, and y'all fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Sure did.
Oh, I can't wait for the think pieces that will be written about this. They gonna excoriate. Mm-hmm. They are gonna get her, okay? Mm-hmm. It's gonna be bad. Ooh, when they get on Medium, the hundreds of hits and comments that taking her to task will get them. That's gonna show the world that black capitalism is wrong, just like I'm doing. Just remember I did it first and give me credit.
They ignoring you just like they ignoring them.
It's a goddamn black capitalist. I hate to see it.
I'm not me.
A new home buyer program will offer up to $120,000 to DC public school teachers and staff.
Come on, it's expensive to live in DC.
First of all, why aren't you living on a commune? Okay.
What?
You don't need no home.
If I'm teaching in DC, I'm probably coming from Virginia. I'm coming from all down in the suburbs, having to fight. Y'all don't make no fucking sense. I don't know if it's gonna take me 3 minutes to get there or 45 hours. So yes, them teachers need to be closer.
Buying a home is capitalism, sis. So maybe you need to read some books, read up on it. Okay.
Mm-mm.
But this is how they get you. Now you done bought into the system. And you done paid me to live on some property, on some land that originally didn't even belong to anybody but the Native Americans that was on this country before. Mayor Bowser launched a new home buyer program with Landed, a financial services organization, on Wednesday morning that will reportedly help DC educators buy a home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know what can't afford.
You know what the problem is, right? Now, right? Okay, here we go. He can't afford the home. Oh, these poor teachers. Oh God, we got to give them some money so they can get some homes.
Yes,
okay,
cool. Tell them with these kids.
Okay, they get the homes, right? They get the homes, right? They in the house. Mm-hmm. Then what's gonna happen in the next generation? They gonna hand the home down to their kids,
right?
And then the next kids, and then the next kids,
right? Generational wealth,
right? And then one day we're gonna look up and we're gonna say, "Wow, how they get all this money and land from these homes?"
Correct.
But through home ownership, through this government program, to help these teachers do this, and now their children is rich. Because let them be rich. There should be no rich people in America, Care. I'm sick of this shit. The capitalism won't save us.
Roderick does not speak for half of the black guy who tips. I don't mind being rich. I don't know what the fuck you talking about. I like eating and my bills being paid, my nigga.
Dr. Umar still ain't open his school because he's not with capitalist bullshit. This white supremacist capitalist patriarchy is the one thing that they want to believe in. It's not going to get us free. Take the money and give it back.
Don't y'all believe this, Negro. You let the right person write the right check and we both going to be shucking and jiving.
Soon as y'all get the keys to this house, I'm going to turn on all y'all teachers. Just letting you know. If you want my support, you don't want me to be on medium.com writing about y'all and telling the truth.
And that ain't nobody else to, sir.
I don't got no house, so why should you get one? Because that's what activism really is.
It is not.
It's about how I feel, and that is jealous. So, let's move it to the next segment, guys. Let's do some fucking with black people. We're just fucking black people. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe makes us find, and we find different articles make us feel fucked with. The wheel style point scores is 0 to 100. Your intervals are 25. And sometimes I give it Jakaris. let's get to see who's fucking with us now. Let's see.
I don't know why, because I feel I do get mad and stuff do make me upset now.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, Amanda, you're not that upset.
To a point, I guess. Let's see. A North Carolina town cancels Christmas parade due to fear of protests over the inclusion of a Confederate group.
What? Tell them niggas no.
Instead of telling them niggas no. A North Carolina town canceled its decades-old Christmas parade this year over fears that protesters would disrupt it because of the event's inclusion of a Confederate groups. What kind of Confederate group needs to celebrate Christmas exactly?
And don't
I'm dreaming of an only white's Christmas.
Where I could wear my sheets all day.
Oh, I'm dreaming of a whites only Christmas.
Come on.
Oh man, what the fuck? Oh man. City officials in Wake Forest, North Carolina said last week in a Facebook post they were planning Wake Forest, damn, send your kids to that college, that they were planning on continuing with the parade despite concerns that the sons and daughters of the Confederacy would be included in the event. Wake Forest, the home of Chris Paul. But in a video published Thursday, Wake Forest Mayor Vivian Jones, sound like a black woman, announced the city's board of directors would cancel the 70-year-old event due to the threat of violence by groups outside of our community. Now I gotta look up Vivian Jones, see what her race is, because I feel like I said no, as opposed to like, yeah, well, it's the, yeah, violence.
My thing is this: they got parades all across the country, right? And I guarantee you, most of them be like, no Confederates, or either they let them come and nobody gives a fuck. One to two happen: either they dare, nobody gives a fuck, or either they're like, no Confederacy shit in our parade.
Yeah. I just, he's a white woman. Okay. Makes sense. Cause I'm like, a sister would have said, just no.
I'm like, no, you can't come and we still having our parade.
She went on to say, not once in all that time has our event been anything less than a peaceful, family-friendly celebration that highlights the wonderful spirit of our community. But sadly, times have changed, and this year is different.
Well, it's going to be different every year, because you know what? They're going to keep applying. So eventually, you're going to have to tell them no.
So what she says, this year is different. This year is different as in, we have always had the Confederates in the parade.
Right.
And now people are fed up, or this year the Confederates wanted in the parade, and we said, uh-oh, people might be upset by it.
I think the first one. I think that they probably have, because a lot of times they probably have always, most people go to parades, and you be like, okay, that don't look right. But, you know, most people just, I'm here for the parade. Okay, fuck them. Or either they have policies, but they be like, no, you cannot participate in our parade.
The mayor said city officials and law enforcement has learned that growing numbers of outside groups plan to attend the parade to either support or oppose the sons and daughters of the Confederacy, according to a statement. According to the Wake Forest Police Chief Jeff Leonard, a group that planned to attend the December 14th parade grew in number from less than 10 to over 200. Oh, they ain't want another Charlottesville. According to Thursday's statement, he did not specify whether the group planned to support the protest the Confederate group. We aren't happy telling the kids they can't attend or participate in this year's parade, but it's better than trying to explain to a parent whose child was injured why we chose to proceed despite so many warning signs. No matter what side of the issue you're on, our focus is public safety. And at this point, the risk of moving forward with the parade simply outweighs any possible reward. Now you be quiet over there, Negro. You see me talking. In the statement last week, the city explained the Confederate group's participation in the parade typically includes people dressed up in period costumes and banners with an image of the Confederate flag.
Right. So that much means they participate in the past.
I like how they try to explain it as if it's not a big deal, but that's exactly what we thought it was, and that's the problem. All they do is just dress up like, you know, the people that were on the side of pro-slavery. Make no mistake about it. The town of Wake Forest is extremely sensitive to the emotion the Confederate flag stirs among those on both sides of the issue.
Oh, so it's two sides to this?
We recognize that for some, the flag represents racism, hatred, and bigotry, while others see it as a representation of Southern heritage, protected as a matter of freedom of speech, freedom of expression, the statement said. Okay. Last week, Garner, North Carolina also announced it'll cancel its Christmas parade.
Dude. You know what? Everybody gonna be canceling their fucking parades now?
This shit's getting Ku Klux canceled. They say cancel culture isn't real. It will cancel its Christmas parade due to protests over the inclusion of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Okay. The Sons of Confederate Veterans. Here's my thing. Why don't you just have a parade and don't let them be in it?
Right, right, right. You're literally punishing everybody. Just tell them niggas, no, you can't come.
They are literally canceling Christmas to because protect the Klan.
They don't want to tell the white people no, so they say, fuck it, nobody can participate.
What does the Confederates even have to do with the fucking parade of Christmas?
Nothing!
No one's ever been watching, no one of any import that I give a fuck about has ever been watching a parade and been like, eh, you know what's missing this year?
You know what's missing this year? That Confederate flag.
Not enough Klan. I really only come out here for the Confederate flag.
That's the only reason why I came, to stand out here in the cold.
Yeah, I know there's no burning crosses on the float this year, and I gotta say, you know, Christmas just isn't the same as when I was a little boy.
So now you're punishing the whole city for something y'all been having for decades. A lot of, you know, people been having this shit for 60, 70, 80, over 100 years now, and we canceled it because white people don't want to tell white people no.
Yep. 0 to 100.
100.
Yeah, I get that. 100 as well. For the first time in history, Miss Universe, Miss USA, Miss America, and Miss Teen USA are all black women.
Oh, my heart goes out to them. I can't imagine the harassment them girls is getting.
On Sunday, Miss America, Miss South Africa crown holder Zozibini Tunzi won the title for Miss Universe, marking a milestone within the ever-diversified pageant world. Tunzi's win makes it the first time ever Miss Universe, Miss America, Miss Teen USA, and Miss America are all black women. Oh, Miss USA and Miss America, my bad. All black women. Tunzi is the second South African woman to win the title in 3 years. She competed against 90 women from 6 different continents.
Wonderful. I'm excited.
Yeah, I know who's not excited.
Who?
J.L. Covan. You know, you hate to see black people dominating everything. As Miss Universe trended on social media Sunday night, many made note of Tunzi's win while sporting her natural hair as part of the fight to end hair discrimination in the workplace continues. Yeah, that's dope. I was noticing at the Hornets game that none of the honeybees ever have their natural hair.
Man, you were talking about that, yeah.
Like, I know it's already a regressive thing with the honeybees and the dancers out there in the first place. It's always kind of weird at a game.
It is.
But whatever. That's what people do. I'm not too caught up on it. Mm-mm. But I did notice, like, you never see any, there's black dancers on there, and you just never see any of them without that, like, shimmering wig vibe, you know?
Right. Everything is straight.
Like, is there somebody out there that, well, there is. Some people would be like, oh my God, we can't have the honeybees in natural hair. I'm disgusted, you know?
Yeah, they probably sound waivers to say they have to come out there with straight hair.
Yeah, so. Anyway, 0 to 100, Cam?
Oh, I'm not fucked with it at all.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not fucked with it at all by this. I'm not even by the whole, like, the first time they've ever all been one color or black. I'm not even fucked with by that, like, cool. I hope they keep it up.
Same.
Dominating. All right. Let's get into something a little bit lighter, guys.
Okay.
And a little bit whiter. Guys know what I'm talking about. It's time to do some white people news. Pull up a white people song. All right. I don't even know the white person version of this song.
Okay.
Let me go back and look at my choices. I guess this is what I gotta do. I don't know any of these white people songs, to be honest with y'all.
I'm gonna be like, who?
Alright, Backstreet Boys, As Long As You Love Me. Is that one that you guys know?
I think I know that one, yes.
Okay, alright. See, I think I just know Backstreet Boys are back. I think that's the only one I I know
that one.
Well, let's see if we can put some seasoning on this white people song and to see how it goes. I'll try to put it on screen, but you guys know
it may or may not pop up.
Right, just you've been warned. Don't get mad at me if this shit don't work, but I'm doing my best.
Has been a friend of mine. I'm leaving my life in your hands. People say I'm crazy and that I am blind, risking it all in a glance. And how you've got me blind is still a mystery. I can't get you out of my head. Don't care what is written in your history, as long as you're here with me. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what.
As long as you love me.
It's interesting because it's just
what
him.
What you did,
right?
As long as you love me, who you are, where you're from. Don't care what you did, as long as you love me.
Damn, he's doing the instrumental too. Wow.
Killer, I can take place of all five of them.
Right?
This nigga got like four keyboards in front of him.
Yep.
Said and done, feels like it's deep within me. Doesn't really matter if you're on the run, it seems like we're meant to be. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did, as long as you love me. Who you are, where you're from, don't care what you did, as long as you love me.
So is that better than the white people version? I don't ever heard it.
Oh, you never had the white people? Oh, you ever said you play it real quick too.
I don't want to. I was just asking your opinion.
I like this version better.
All right, good. Well, we got one finally. You know, sometimes it's hit or miss with these, the same way it was the white people news.
Yeah, I like the beat better.
That's y'all's man, though. We got to talk about Donald Trump and the things that have been going on with him since the last time we did this damn segment. Don't worry, I didn't save that much shit, I don't think.
Thank you.
Let's see. Donald Trump promised to eliminate the deficit in 8 years. So far, he has increased it by 68%.
Yeah, we trillions of dollars in debt now.
Y'all listen to a podcast, and I won't say the name, but I was listening to a podcast, and one of the hosts was like, you know, while we talking about Donald Trump, really got to give him credit for what he's doing with the economy. And I was like, nigga, you got to read.
Why? You do know that his policies actually haven't came into effect.
You can't just look at the stock market.
The economy's going to actually go down.
Yeah, you can't just look at the stock market.
People going to lose their jobs. Like, it is not going to be good once this shit takes effect. Do you know anything about finance, dog?
Oh, man. The EPA to limit science used to write public health rules. Yes, because why would the Environmental Protection Agency want to use, you know, science?
That's their fucking job.
When coming up with public health regulations. We don't want
they study science. Facts that get that.
That's been the whole problem the whole time. Y'all keep using all this science.
They want to get rid of science.
Pray the pollution away.
They want to get rid of science, yeah. Because if you get rid of science, you can just make shit up.
We can just pray the pollution away. Leaked Stephen Miller email show Trump's point man on immigration promoted white national. And then nigga, we've been saying this. How many fucking times people got to tell you? It's been years now. There are people like Stephen Miller's a white supremacist. Hey guys, hey, we finally found the menus, guys. We finally found the memos, guys, and it looks like he's a white supremacist. I guess it's time to do nothing about this.
Not, they ain't gonna do a goddamn thing.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you. Mm-hmm. And when did I tell you? A long time ago. And what did I say will happen when I told you? Exactly what just happened.
Senior Trump administration official Mina Chang resigns after embellishing her resume.
Hmm.
Yeah, cause why not? It's a fucking free for all over there.
Yes.
You know who else embellished their resume? Donald Trump to get the office, so.
Yeah, they said he had the most underqualified people to ever in his cabinet to ever take the positions. The people didn't know how to fucking do the job. You got people doing the job that don't even know how the fucking job works.
Yep. Melania Trump was loudly booed and heckled by a crowd at Opioid Summit in Baltimore. Be best. The intensity of the boos were an apparent first for Ms. Trump, who has largely avoided direct backlash during her husband's polarizing presidency. Yeah, they do so much to protect themselves from the optics of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he got booed at like a football game. Like, they do so much to try to avoid what's obviously happening in the country, where there's a lot of people who just completely disapprove of him.
Right. That's why they do that shit where he goes on those tours and shit and just surround himself by the people that's going to cheer him on. But it's a lot of people, even a lot of white people, that's like, fuck him.
The boos lasted for about a minute and then continued sporadically during her remarks. Then the event was at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County campus, so maybe it was like a lot of black people there or something. It was geared towards addressing the impact of the opioid addiction on young Americans. She says she would continue fighting for them with her Be Best campaign. Thank you to all the students who are here. I am so proud of you for the bravery it takes to share that you have been strongly affected by the opioid epidemic in some way. Promoting education and awareness on these issues will always be one of my top priorities. I am in this fight with you. I am fighting for you. I encourage you. If you are struggling with addiction right now, reach out for support. Whether it is a teacher, parent, friend, grandparent, coach, or pastor, talk to an adult in your life that you trust. It is never too late to ask for help. Speaking of, can you help me by not booing anymore? Be best.
Boo. Be best at doing what? Nothing.
Donald, these niggas are booing me.
Yes, boo, boo.
I want to see all of their birth certificate too, Donald. You were right. Internal justice watchdog finds the Russia probe was justified, not biased against Trump. Duh. It don't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I try not to work myself up too hard because, shit like that just makes you angry.
Yeah, none of this shit matters.
Mm-mm.
This nigga ain't gonna follow none of them rules anyway they gonna come up with.
Nope, he not. And I guarantee you, if he loses, y'all, somebody gonna have to go and literally take him out of office. Like, cause he's gonna be like, it was a scam. It wasn't right. This nigga gonna try to make himself president for life if he can.
Mm-hmm.
Watch.
He ain't going nowhere.
Mm-mm.
He ain't gonna be like,
y'all gonna have to shoot me.
He can't be stopped because he's president for life. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why he loves dictators.
Mm-hmm.
People need to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. He love them. All right, let's get into, you sound like you'll give him a Dracars, but probably not still. I know you have your integrity. Walmart apologizes for sweat.
Yeah, he might want to breathe fucking fire. Sorry.
Walmart apologizes for a sweater featuring Santa with cocaine.
Oh, Santa doing coke? Santa getting high.
Okay, but like, where else can I find it now that y'all taking it down? Because I want one. did you see the picture?
A straw and everything.
You got a straw, you got lines of snow. I think it's supposed to be snow or something. And then there's like a pile of snow. What are those rocks? Are those like snow eight balls? Like what is?
I don't know. Is he selling it? Is the reindeer slanging? What is happening here?
They're popular in adults only Christmas sweater that appeared to depict cocaine on this Canadian website.
I mean, this is adults only sweater. So
they pulled the holiday outfit along with several other risque seasonal sweaters Saturday after they caused a stir with social media users. Oh man, I wish I could have caught one.
Right?
Those sweaters sold by third party sellers at Walmart.Canada do not represent Walmart's values and no place on the website and blah blah blah. So
y'all see why the reindeer was flying now.
The sweater shows Santa with three lines of white substance along with the phrase "Let it snow." We all know how snow works. It's white powdery and the best snow comes straight from South America. The description read.
Not the North Pole.
That's bad news for jolly old Saint Nick who lives far away in the North Pole. That's why Santa really likes to savor the moment when he gets his hand on some quality grade A Colombian snow.
he probably picks it up while he's dropping off gifts. That's the only way you can step all night long.
Other duds for the sale depicted Father Christmas in compromising positions, including with his pants off, roasting his chestnuts in the front of a fireplace. The threads quickly made the rounds on social media.
You got that one too, though.
No.
Okay.
Where the shoppers expressed shock about Saint Nick's antics, and then they go into people's tweets about it. So, man, I can't believe that. Take that down. White people, boy, they have a very thin tolerance for this stuff. Mm-hmm. Speaking of other white people news, a performance artist eats a $120,000 banana duct taped to a wall and calls it delicious.
Oh, it better be delicious.
Maurizio Catalan's creation, titled Comedian, is meant to be replaced as necessary, said a spokeswoman for the gallery displaying the piece. Apparently it's a $120,000 work of art consisting of a banana duct taped to a wall. It was ripped from its perch and eaten by a performance artist Saturday afternoon. David Datuna posted video of his gastronomical action, which he proclaimed was an art performance that was titled Hungry Artist. The banana piece, Comedian, by Maurizio Catalan, was on display at the Animal Showcase Art Basel, Annual Showcase Art Basel in Miami Beach, which runs through Sunday. The Italian artist sold two editions of the piece to private collectors for $120,000 each. Woo! And was negotiating a third sale to a museum for $150,000. What?
This nigga ripped us and I'm hungry.
No, I don't care about that. You have made $240,000 from taping a fucking banana to a wall.
That's art.
And was about to get $150K more. Mm-hmm. You've taped a banana to the wall, dog. Oh my God. What?
Art makes no sense. Certain types of art makes no sense.
Mm-mm-mm. But y'all want the black people to get the money up though.
Right. Okay.
The black people first, huh? Beyonce got to die in a revolution that's never coming, huh? Okay. Right. Cool. Got it. I love Maurizio Catalan artwork. I really love this installation. The tuna said on Instagram, it's very delicious. In September, $1 million 18 karat gold toilet Catalan created was stolen from a British palace that was the birthplace of Winston Churchill. In 2016,
it's still an art,
I guess. In 2016, New York's Guggenheim Museum described him in a press release as the art world's resident prankster. Miami Beach police spokesman Ernesto Rodriguez said Saturday the department had no interactions with the tuna, and the gallery spokeswoman said there had been no complaints about the performance artist. She said the artwork comes with instructions that the banana should be replaced as necessary. So I guess they'll put another banana up there and
it'll be $200,000.
Yeah. They said he did not destroy the artwork. He told the paper the banana is the idea. Okay. White people shit.
A 49-cent banana.
Wife of Papa John's founder files for divorce.
Oh shit.
Wow. I guess he's having a sale. Everything's half off.
Everything.
We'll be right back.
I guess Papa was a pizza. He ain't no stone, he a pizza.
Wife of Papa John's found and files for divorce. She's Papa gone. Papa John's founder, John Schnatter, who lost his pizza chain a year ago after getting caught using the N-word, now appears to have lost his marriage. Pizza guy's wife, Annette Cox, separated from Schnatter at the beginning of April and filed for divorce papers in Kentucky on Thursday, according to Louisville Courier-Journal. Cox, 59, said her 32-year marriage to the former pizza mogul has deteriorated irretrievably. Yo, this nigga really... This has been the best part of Kaepernick's protest. Papa John destroyed his whole life because that nigga took a knee.
His whole life. Over another rich ass nigga that's still rich now. The nigga that sent you out there to destroy your life, that nigga still rich and still on his team.
Talking about Jerry Jones?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Schnatter, 57, dished some cheesy comments at his former chain in November, claiming he'd been devouring huge quantities of Papa John's pizza and that it had lost its luster. I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days, and it's not the same pizza, he told a Fox affiliate. It's not the same product, it just doesn't taste as good. Yeah, I saw him, and he looked like he had 40 pizzas in 30 days. Like, his skin looked like it was dripping garlic sauce.
Garlic sauce.
It looked bad.
40 pieces in 30 days, yes. You will bleed marinara sauce.
Yeah, he was hot about it, too. Schnatter, I mean, good luck, I guess. I mean, it's just that thing where I know what's happening to him is kind of wrong, but I wholeheartedly that he's a racist, so I don't care. You know, that's just how it be sometimes, dog. Like, bad things happen to bad people sometimes, and that this is one of them times. And
yeah, he just never thought they would do this. Like, my name on the building, we don't give a fuck.
Yeah, like I don't have nothing for you, bro. You're a racist, just catching, you know, caught a bad break. I don't know. Motherfucker was trying to talk his way out of it. They just was waiting on him to say that N-word. He's like, I'm not like racist, okay? This isn't the Colonel Sanders. He was going around calling people nigger, and that's disgusting, and I completely disagree with that. And they were just somewhere like, got him.
Keep rolling.
Keep filming. Miley Cyrus fans are in a stir over her new modern mullet as her hairstylist defends the new do.
Okay, now you know I got to see this.
I know. Carrie, you know, you don't even have to say it because I am trying to always bring it up to show you. I know you and I know the show. And
I don't know if I knew.
But yeah, she got a reaction from her fans. And her hairstylist had to say something. You know, ever since she got divorced, I mean, she's just been out here like living her best life, being free, doing whatever she want. She's worn countless eye-catching hairstyles since her days as Disney's Hannah Montana, but Miley Cyrus's latest look has received very mixed reaction from her fans, forcing her hairstyles. That's never good when you gotta defend your work, though. It should speak for itself.
Yeah, it should. Look like somebody just took some scissors and was just like, chop here, cut here. Like, it's no...
I don't know if this is the old one or the new one yet.
Oh, okay.
The 27-year-old pop star shared a photo of her newly cut mullet to Instagram stories on Monday. Oh, that is the new style. You know what? That does look terrible.
Yeah, like I said, it looked like somebody just took some scissors and was like, and they didn't cut an end. I don't know what is happening with her hair.
I'm pretty sure I could have done this.
Me too, and I'm not a stylist.
I don't feel like I should ever look at any celebrity's hair and feel like, yeah, I could have did that.
That's Miley's not good.
Her old stylist Sally Hershberger shared it. Wrecking Ball singer was in a wintry brown white sweater as she posed on the bed. Her new platinum blonde locks were styled poker straight with shorter bangs and dramatic feathered layers. Also appeared to be a bit uneven in the photo, where a stray tendril was longer than the rest of her bangs. She also bore a striking resemblance to her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus, with her new hairstyle.
I guess the texture of hair must not layer right, because all her shit was flat. If it's supposed to layer, it ain't layering.
Feathering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what feathering is, so don't get me out here to lie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they say she's like her daddy. That's probably not what you want after you get a haircut as a grown ass woman.
Mm-mm.
You know, girl,
I don't like that haircut.
You look just like your damn daddy.
It's all uneven.
Her daddy hair looked way better than hers in this picture. I don't know what they saw.
His hair looked combed. Her hair looked like it's not combed.
She don't like her daddy at all.
Mm-mm.
Her haircut doesn't seem to please her fans, who took their Instagram to express their displeasure. Oh, you tag your stylist and look at my hair looks so great, and then your stylist gotta get all this hate.
Aww.
This is the worst haircut I ever laid my eyes on. You call yourself a hairstylist? Now this is gonna be all over TMZ and the news. Plus the locals that don't like Mally are gonna think she's going through a meltdown again. Why can't we gonna go cry now? Bye. That all.
Oh, they take that to heart, boy.
Damn. At least keep a man that was cheating on her, dude. It could have been worse. Another user blamed on the singer herself, not the hairstylist. It's a shag. Shag should have texture, not be flat ironed to hell and back. This is a wearer error, stylist error. We can't hands through every moment of their waking day. Well, at least it's not duly compensated. Money.
Guess you like it. I love it.
Here's my thing. How do we know that's not the stylist's other account? Because that sounded a little too defensive of the stylist.
Duh.
Anger over the haircut seems to have been misplaced, as Miley's mother Tish was responsible for the look. The Party in the USA singer posted images of her mother giving her a cut from her birthday on Saturday. Tish seems to have cut off a few inches in a completely straight line. Later, Hershberger did some maintenance on Miley's hair, getting it to the final state. Also, she tried to salvage this girl's hair. So the mom gave her the fucked up haircut, and then the stylist came in and was like, let me see what I can do to fix this baby. and now you know her, they blame the stylist,
because and that makes sense, because it did look like somebody who didn't know what the fuck they was doing grabbed some scissors and went to cutting, because that makes sense. I'm like, what's up with your hair, baby?
Feeling all nostalgic. Let me cut your hair like I used to, baby. Give me my flowy.
Mom, I'm not five.
She fired back at the angry fans in the comments. First of all, if you knew anything about hair, it's the position she's in. That's why it looks that way. It's 100% even. She also has it straightened, so it's even more severe, which I actually like, she wrote. That be chill out and know it's a modern mullet, which is very cool, but it's something you probably aren't even well versed in. Sorry. She finished with a final twist of the knife. One other user suggested Sally everything up by sharing her photo of Molly. Molly, can you post another selfie which makes her hair look even to make the people who hate it shut up, they wrote. Damn, boy, they would not stop.
Every day, because like I said, they argue people all day long. Maybe they getting them hives.
Yeah.
What is her hive?
The Molly fans? Yeah. I don't know. Bangers? I don't know what they call. The Hannah Montanas? I don't know. While Miley fans were frothing over her platinum locks, her sister Noah Cyrus, 19, made an appearance on Sirius XM Studios in New York City on Tuesday. The singer-songwriter had her own raven lock styled and covered up with a black beanie.
Show you how much I know. I didn't know she had a sister.
First of all, that's Miley Cyrus in a beanie. You can't fool me. It's not her sister. That's Miley Cyrus. Damn, they look alike.
They do.
Jesus.
Y'all can't like deny each other.
Yeah, like if it wasn't
I
for
didn't
even
know
her,
she had a sister.
For if it wasn't for her hair being black, like she could just go places and impersonate Molly.
I bet she probably has in the past
and get paid for that shit. But like, I'm just gonna show up. I put my hands up, playing my song, and the butterfly fly. Hey, all right, I'll take the check. Thank you, and I'm out. So good luck to her sister who wears a tracksuit. That is Molly in a damn tracksuit. You ain't fooling me. Nice try, Daily Mail, but the jig is up.
The jig is up. You won't fool me.
That's the same white woman. Okay. I know all white women look alike to me, but I'm just saying, this one, these two, I'm pretty sure that's the same people. All right, let's see. A woman thanks a restaurant critic for exposing her husband's affair with a photo of him dining with someone else.
Oh shit! Did they catch him in the background while they was taking pictures? Dude,
I don't know. She said, I ain't Cardi B. Hey, you cheat on me, I really will leave.
You're doing a portrait and they happen to catch him in the background while I was focusing.
I guess the title didn't say ex-husband though, so.
Well, not yet. Technically,
they could still be together. Who knows?
I divorced yet.
True. Like, maybe they gonna work it out. Maybe she believes in forgiveness. I mean, think about it. Down for maintenance. What is happening? The article won't load. Cool. Let's just assume it was good, guys. It's probably, probably really funny. Let me check my app
on the app
on my phone, because it says it's down on this thing. Okay, so give me 1 second here. Let's see, tags, white people news.
This is what happens when you do shit live.
Jesus, right? Okay, woman thanks restaurant critic. Okay, it's loaded on my phone, but it just don't want to load on my computer. All right, yeah. One Washington Post restaurant critic unwittingly exposed a man for cheating on his wife. At least that's what one woman is thanking him for this week. And Tom Seitzema's weekly live chat column asked Tom, one anonymous commenter, didn't so much have a question as a bit of a strange thank you note. Well, Tom, your latest review is accompanied by a picture of my husband dining with a woman who isn't me, she wrote on Wednesday's column, nested between other commenters inquiring after romantic dinner spots and restaurant recommendations in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh shit, one of our favorite places.
Once confronted with photographic evidence, he confessed to having an ongoing affair, she continued. I just thought you'd be amused to hear your part in the drama this Thanksgiving. I'm grateful to you for exposing a cheat. Thanksgiving. Wow.
Oh, so he missed Thanksgiving.
I don't know. I guess this Thanksgiving is when she confronted him.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say he missed Thanksgiving. God damn.
Seitzema was seemingly dumbfounded by this revelation, writing back that he'd hate to know that the commenter's claim was indeed true. Please, please, please tell me this is a crank post. I'd hate to learn otherwise. I file 2 reviews a week for food in the magazine, so I'm not sure which restaurant this is. Seitzema later shared a comment on his Twitter, giving other Washington DC area with diners a warning. So this popped up on my live online food chat today. Cheaters take heed, he wrote on Twitter, along with a screenshot of the interaction. He also retweeted another user's tweet about his surreal experience that included a gif of Gordon Ramsay covering his face with his hands in the comment. This is how I imagine at Tom Seitzema reacting to that woman's thank you note for his chat today. Whoa. Yeah, that's pretty bad, dog. Pretty horrible, actually. Stop cheating on people, okay? You just make yourself look foolish, and then someone's doing a
don't take them out to dinner
restaurant review, and now you're caught up. All right, let's do sword ratchetness and get out of here.
Fuck around and be in the background of a Yelp peak and don't know how you got there. Let's put a spot that something said nothing said you can't even take your side piece to a nice dinner. Mm-mm. Not age your cell phones.
You're having divorce for dessert. Allegedly disturbing Grape Creek resident threatens. Oh, disturbed Grape Creek resident threatens neighborhood with sword, crossbow, shotgun, and pistol.
Well, goddamn!
Man, this nigga part of the Alexandria clique.
Ah!
The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office arrested a man Saturday for threatening to kill multiple people while he had a number of weapons on him. Tom Green? What happened to him?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that dude? He like wasn't that funny, but he was weird, and then that was like a whole thing for MTV mm-hmm. for a while. It's like, if you can't be funny, be weird. Look, he's sucking a cow's nipples. According to court documents on November 30th, the Tom Green Sheriff's Office were dispatched to the block of Goodland Loop for the report of a man threatening to kill his neighbors. When deputies arrived, they found James Pattier, 31, sitting in the middle of the road, armed with a 12-gauge shotgun, hand on the pump. Nah, 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 nah.
Right?
Deputies immediately told him to drop the weapon. His response was screaming while lifting the gun in the air, then throwing it to the side. Deputies then detained him and found a 38 black semi-automatic pistol, a sword, and a crossbow on his person. Further investigating revealed that Pattier had gotten into an argument with the neighbor and threatened to kill everyone he did at 1.5 off the shotgun. During the arrest, Pattier also accused of kicking, attempting to pull away from deputies, and even attempting to bite one of them.
Wow.
He is charged with deadly conduct by discharging a firearm. His bond was set at $20,000, and he was released on Saturday Sunday at 1:51 p.m. So he was released. He's already back on the streets because why? He's white. All right, y'all. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate y'all. Don't forget to leave those 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a joke. It's not mm-hmm. a game. We need those. We also have a sale going on in our TeePublic store.
We do.
If you guys are looking at the show art for this episode, you can cop that on the shirt. So, mm-hmm. you know, get it while it's 30% off. While the price is good. All right, y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Mwah.